Skipping meals? Cutting out carbs? Still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest. You aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almacet. Almacet isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almacet is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almacet is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almacet.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almacet.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almacet.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jacob, I think I need to go outside more. I mean, not one of those people that like never goes outside. I gotta mow my yard and do all the normal day-to-day thing. But I'm not nearly as like physically active. I don't participate in as many sports as I did like back in when I was in college, or even as soon as 6 months ago. When my wife and I were living in Springfield, we used to play volleyball all the time. There was an indoor, I guess, is technically. It was a dome. It was called Volleyball Beach Ozark, VBO, we called it. And they had 8 sand volleyball courts that were inside of like a dome, right? That was an aired up dome. And we would play. They had free play on Wednesdays and Fridays. We would go. We would play in league on Tuesdays. We were playing volleyball 3-4 days a week. But when I made the move back up here in January, kind of stopped doing that. And this weekend, a few of our friends that we made during our time in Springfield, they came up to play in a volleyball tournament with my wife over at Centerline, I think. Centerline Volleyball Beach in Blue Springs, which is only like 6 or 7 minutes from our house. And so she goes and she's playing in the tournament with a couple of our friends. And I get a phone call. Hey, one of our friends hurt their ankle. Turns out she had a high ankle sprain. I mean, her ankle swelled up probably 3 times its normal size. It was ridiculous. They're like, she can't play. Can you come play with us? Sure. Dear God, fine. So I went and we played like 3 games. This was on Saturday. I have had difficulty walking upstairs since. Like, my whole lower body hurts. My back is killing me. My left quad is super tight. The heels, like the balls of my feet hurt. Like, I have got to start working out or something. Like, my goodness. Mowing the yard's not getting the job done is what I'm saying.
You mean you didn't get 28,000 steps on Saturday?
No, I did not. Did you get 28,000 steps on Saturday?
Yeah, I did.
Are you out of your mind?
Just a little bit. All outside during that rainstorm, too.
How did you get 28,000 steps? Please, enlighten us.
So, there's this tournament called the Kansas City Flying Discs Challenge, and it's four rounds in 3 days. It used to be four rounds in 2 days, except they've been able to upgrade it to an A tier. So it was one round on Friday, and then we played the two Smithville courses back to back. I think we were out there from about 9 a.m. to last card finished around 4:30, 5 p.m. So it was a long day.
Jeez. Didn't realize you got steps like that playing disc golf, man. That's unbelievable.
Before I got 19,000. The day after I got 17,000.
I'm sure your Apple Watch was letting you have it. You were hitting so many goals. That's crazy, dude. But, man, I don't know. I mean, now that I'm back home, like back up here, I know that there's places to go. There has to be. I used to play pickup basketball all the time. I mean, in college, right? We both went to Northwest together. I'm not overstating this. I very easily played 20 to 25 hours worth of pickup basketball a week at the rec center.
Oh yeah. I mean,
I would go,
there were places for it.
Yeah.
I would go
to the rec. We had three courts and I would get there at roughly 2 o'clock. Usually it was around 3 o'clock every day at the rec center at Northwest. That's when everybody would show up and that's when the pickup games would really start. But around 2 o'clock, you could get there and you could wrangle enough people together to run a couple of games until everybody else showed up. And that pickup ran heavy from about 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And then around 6 o'clock, people would start tailing off. They were going home to do homework or, you know, go eat dinner or get ready to go to the bars that night. Let's face it. So I was at the rec center from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. every day. Sometimes I was there later than 6 o'clock. A lot of times if there were more guys, if we had enough dudes to keep going, I was going to be there till 7 or 8 o'clock. 7, 8 o'clock every single day. Somebody just said, what do you do all day? Said TF, do you do all day? That's a great question.
He hosts the radio.
I do show prep. I read about sports. I watch sports. I play video games. I watch movies. I mow my yard. I do laundry and dishes and whatever the hell else. I have other jobs that I do. I substitute teach on the side, although now it's the summer, so I don't have as much of that to be doing. I do some construction and odd jobs and home improvement stuff with my father-in-law. I'm about to coming up here in, man, 10 days. I'm going to be running a fireworks tent. So from June 20th to July 5th, I'm running a fireworks tent, which will be fun.
I've helped. There was one near Lake Wacomas that I helped quite a bit for, I'd say, past 6-7 years. It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I've done it. I mean, I sold fireworks from 16 until I was 22 years old. My last summer that I had in college, I worked in a warehouse for the first 2 years. And then after I graduated high school, I ran a tent. And these tents are a lot of work, folks. For those who aren't aware, like, you have to get a camper. So I have to get a camper and I have to sleep. Somebody has to physically be with the tent 24 hours a day. I can't leave. Now, I can like have somebody come relieve me for a little while. So there's going to be a few times here in the next couple of weeks that like I'll be hosting the morning show. I'll be filling in for Fesco and Dusty on June 20th, I think. So I'm going to have like my wife or my mom come and sit with the tent for a few hours until I'm done with the show. And then I go back so I can leave for a few hours at a time, but somebody has to be with the tent. So I sleep in a camper for 2.5 weeks, right? You have to like individually price everything, get your little price gun out, and it's a lot, but I'll tell you one thing, it's good money. And it's fun too, dude. Like I enjoy it. I really do. And the last couple of years, like since I graduated college and I moved to Springfield, I hadn't done it, right? I had a normal day job, so you can't just like leave your day job for 3 weeks and do something like this. But I have some time now, and so I'm looking forward to it. But I need to get, I think a lot of it is because my wife and I are back in the area, but we're in a part of the metro that we're a little bit unfamiliar with right now because we grew up on the north side, right? I grew up in Lawson. I know a lot of people may not even know where that is. I always just say it's near Excelsior Springs, And if people don't know where Excelsior Springs is, I say I'm from Kansas City because it's just easier that way, right? Even people who live here don't know where Lawson, Missouri is. It's 2,500 people, but it's 30 minutes from Kansas City. It's about 10 minutes to Excelsior, about 20 minutes to Liberty, and it's 30 minutes from downtown, 35 minutes from downtown, depending on the traffic. So I'm used to what happens on the north side. I know what's going on, and I know where I can play in Lawson, in Excelsior, and in Liberty, and in Platte City, in places. But we live on the south side of town now. So we live in Grain Valley. I don't know if there's places to play pickup in Grain Valley or Blue Springs. There's probably places in Independence that I could play at, but I definitely need to know what part of Independence I'm playing in. I'm just being honest, Jacob. All right. I got to know where I'm playing in Independence before I just show up.
Trust me. I know, man. I spend most of my day in West Bottoms, and I've delivered off of Prospect before. It's a fun sight, but yeah, you got to keep your head on a swivel.
You do. I mean, I've played pickup basketball in some places before, man. I used to play, it was called the Cages. That should have been my first sign, but I was 16, 17 years old. Like, I didn't know any better. So every summer, me and one of my best friends, we would play at this place 3-4 days a week. Dude, I saw guys getting guns pulled on each other. I saw fist fights happen both on the court and in the parking lot. There was a skate park right next to it. So it obviously, you know, the place had a certain aroma that surrounded it. I played pickup with dudes who had blunts in their mouths during gate. I'm like, this is wild, dude. So I don't know. I'm not overly concerned. I just have to learn, man. I could never find a place really to play pickup in Springfield, and it always bugged me. But I got to get back active, dude. I'm 27 years old. I played 3 volleyball games for 3 hours. I'm having difficulty walking. Not old enough for that. I'm just being lazy. I just got to figure it out. That's all it is. I just got to figure it out. It's fine. I got to figure out my way of getting 28,000 steps.
Me, you, and Mac need to go play some disc golf.
I've never played disc golf. I should give it a try. I should. Well, it can't be that bad.
No, it's fun, man.
I always thought about getting involved in Ultimate Frisbee. Right, I always thought that looked like fun. I've actually gone and watched like Ultimate Frisbee events before. They had something like that when I was down in Springfield, and I went and watched it a few times. I'm like, that looks like fun. My problem is when I throw a frisbee, God knows where it's going. Like, I'm probably worse at disc golf than I am normal golf, and that is saying something. Because if I shoot under triple digits, I'm on cloud 9 for weeks, dude. Like, what'd you shoot? I shot a 98. And all my golf buddies are like, that's awful. I'm like, screw you. That's a top 5 round of my life. One of my favorite stories. So my sophomore year of high school, this is a true story. My sophomore year of high school, I was on the golf team, quote unquote, never played in a tournament, never played in an event, never. We had like 15, 16 guys on the golf team. 5 guys make varsity, 5 guys make JV, and then the other 5 or 6 of us just practiced. That was me. I was that guy. But one day, right before we had our first big tournament, it was a JV tournament, our coach is like, hey, I'm going to send all of you guys out, and you're going to go play 9 holes. All right. So the 4 or 5 really good varsity guys went out by themselves, and then 4 or 5 JV guys, the normal JV guys, went out and played, and then the rest of us went out. And we walked the course, right? We had our bags and our little, you know, golf caddies that we had with us, and which by golf caddy, I don't mean an actual caddy. I mean like the little 2-wheel things that you just drag along. And we get done with the 9 holes. We go back to the clubhouse, and my coach, who was also my basketball coach, is like, boys, what'd you shoot? I said, well, coach, I shot a 72. He goes, you shot a 72 on 18? That's incredible. No, coach, we played 9 holes. I shot a 72 on 9 holes. I was 16. I was awful. I'm better than that now, but I'm still pretty terrible. Dude, play on my ice hockey team? I can't skate. What are you talking about?
I would pay so much money to see that.
Yeah. Do you guys have insurance? Or who's paying the ER bill after I go down and split my skull open 30 seconds into the first game? Oh, that would go so unbelievably poorly. And I'm not big enough to be a goalie, because that's what I would say. Just stick me in at goalie. I don't have to go anywhere. I can just stand there in front, right? Just hit the – I just catch the ball, hit the ball off my side. I'll do that. Just hit the puck. Ball. Puck. Oh, I can't play ice hockey, dude. That's a terrible idea. Ask my wife. We've been ice skating a few times. No way I could play hockey. You're telling me I have to stay upright and hit a puck? Not happening. Go get on a softball team? Not the worst idea I've heard. That's not the worst idea I've heard. Play a little co-ed softball. My parents used to do that on the weekends. That'd be fun.
I'll have to see where my buddies play. They speaking of the volleyball, they do. They have a men's volleyball league or a co-ed. I think it's co-ed, but they play every Tuesday night.
Where do they play at?
That's what I'll have to get it for you.
Because there are a lot of places.
I think they said they play for about anywhere from two to four hours.
Yeah.
A day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we did, right? When we were playing, when we were down in Springfield, we were playing sand volleyball religiously. Like I said, typically Tuesday nights we had league, so we would have a 6 o'clock game, a 7 o'clock game, and sometimes even an 8 o'clock game. And then on Wednesdays, I would get done with my show in Springfield at 6 o'clock, and we'd drive down there. It was like a 15-minute drive from our house. And typically it was like 6:50. We would get there about 6:15, 6:30. We'd play till like 9 o'clock. Thursday night, we had league again, 6, 7, sometimes even 8 o'clock. And then Fridays, we would do league play again, 6:15, 6:30 to around 9 o'clock. And then sometimes they would have tournaments on Saturdays. We would play indoor every once in a while. I love playing indoor volleyball because I'm not a very big guy. I'm 5'9". But the one thing I've always had for me is I can jump. I have a pretty decent vertical. Playing indoor was always so much fun because, like, playing sand volleyball, I can jump and, like, I can barely get my head above the net, but I can't hit it the way that some other guys can hit it, right? You've got dudes that are playing that are like 6'1, 6'2 that absolutely crush the ball. When I play on a court, it kind of evens the playing field a little bit because of the way I can jump. I can hit the ball hard as hell playing on a court. It's just really hard to play on a court. It's hard to do open play when you have on a court. Sand, it's much easier to do. But we're going to have to figure out where we can go play. That centerline place is like I said, it's less than 10 minutes from our house, which is pretty easy. There is another dome. There's another volleyball beach place in Kansas City, but it's like 40 minutes from our house. So that's a tough one to stomach driving to on a regular basis. We'll see. Somebody says to get a dog. We've thought about it, but we've got two cats and they don't get along with other dogs. Like, we've had like friends, family that have brought dogs to our house and it doesn't go well. One of my cats tried to take my eye clean out of my face when we tried to introduce them to a dog. And this cat, not normally that way. Like, and so we're concerned about how a dog would interact with the cats. So now I'm just getting into the weeds about my life. 913-586-7965 is our number. Keep the suggestions coming. Let me know, like, where I can play pickup, dude. Like, I miss playing basketball, man. I haven't played basketball consistently since college, and I miss it. I miss hooping, dude. Absolutely, I miss it. This is After Hours. Logan Weber here with you. Jacob Mustard alongside. More conversation sports-wise coming your way next. We'll talk a little bit more about the Kansas City Royals series coming up starting tomorrow against the New York Yankees. It's going to be a good one. Going to be a good series, I'm hoping. Right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Look in the mirror. When did your metabolism decide to take a permanent vacation? You're working out, eating decent, but that stubborn gut just won't budge. Standard diets don't work anymore. They just starve your body, crash your energy, and burn away the lean muscle you actually want to keep. It's time to break the cycle with Almased. Almased isn't a fad diet. It's a high-protein, all-natural meal replacement shake, scientifically backed to burn deep belly fat while protecting your muscle mass. The secret is a unique, low-glycemic formula. It keeps your insulin in check, forcing your body to stop storing fat and start burning it for fuel.
I hit 50 and my energy cratered, while my waistline did the opposite. Nothing got rid of my belly fat until I tried Almased. I dropped the belly, got more energy, and honestly, I feel like I'm in my 30s again.
Don't settle for slowing down. Protect your muscle, kickstart your energy, and lose the gut for good. Go to Almased.com and use promo code BELLY to get a free shaker bottle and a free weight loss guide with your first order. That's A-L-E.
M-A-S-E-D.com, promo code BELLY.
You read labels on your food because what's in it matters. Dirty Labs brings that same thinking to your dishes. In other words, what touches your food matters too. Dirty Labs is proving that cleaning doesn't have to be so dirty. So they created a dishwasher detergent designed to deliver conventional levels of clean without the toxic chemicals or residue. Because the plates and forks your family eats from deserve the same care as the food you put on them. Fall in love, or it's free, at dirtylabs.com.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some of these exercise suggestions that I'm getting from people in the text line, some of them great. Others, their methods are highly questionable. Somebody in the text line just said, the best thing you can do to go is to go to your local Y and join a yoga and Pilates class and then go do some heavy, intense lifting after work, to work off the frustration, if you know what I mean. Yoga pants and leggings are unfair. Hey, honey, I'm going to go to my yoga and Pilates class. I think she'd have questions. And I'm not sure how I would be able to answer any of those questions without further incriminating myself. Being forced to sleep on a recliner in the basement. I'm going to decline that thought, that suggestion. I don't think that would go well for me. All right. We talked a lot in the first hour of our show tonight about the weekend for the Royals, losing 2 out of 3 against the White Sox, and yada, yada, yada. The first week for Jack Caglione, the four-hit day he had yesterday. Hopefully that can get something going for him, right? That's the first sign that I think Cags has gotten that, okay, I can play at this level. A four-hit game in your sixth major league appearance? All right, I'm capable here. Let's see what he can do from that. Starting tomorrow, the New York Yankees come to town. It is a renewal of the ALDS series last year. Yankees beat the Royals in 4 games. And the Royals trotting out 3 really good pitching options in this series. You've got Noah Cameron going tomorrow. Chris Bubich will go Wednesday. And Cole Reagans will be on the bump Thursday. I'm really, really looking forward to this matchup tomorrow. Noah Cameron against Max Fried, who has been spectacular to open the year. 8-1 with a 1.78 ERA. He has been absolutely nails since coming over to the Bronx. The Yankees, I look at their hitting, and I mean, I'm going to be completely honest here a little bit. There are several guys in this order that make me a little bit nervous. Of course, you've got Aaron Judge, who is hitting the ball as well as anybody has hit a baseball, maybe ever. Through 64 games, the guy's hitting .396. He's got 23 home runs and 55 RBIs. At the moment, he is averaging just under an RBI a game. Right now, he's averaging 0.85 RBIs per game. He's on pace for almost 140 ribbies this year. Will that sustain itself? No, I don't think so. Right, an OPS of 1,200 will not sustain itself. Hopefully, this is the series where we start to see a little bit of a drop-off. I don't know. He's walked 44 times. That's unreal. 44 walks in 64 games. And then Paul Goldschmidt. What a resurgent year for Goldschmidt. Gets you know, he leaves St. Louis, he comes to New York, and has instantly become the second best hitter on this team, hitting .312 this year. But the power numbers aren't really there for him. He's only got 7 long balls, 29 ribbies. Cody Bellinger in his first year in New York is hitting 260. He's got 9 home runs this year. And then you've got this combination of Ben Rice and Trent Grisham. Neither one of them is wowing you in the batting average department, both of them hovering around 240, but Grisham's got 13 bombs, and Rice has sent 12 over the fence. Outside of those guys, I'm not shaking in my boots watching Anthony Volpe. I'm not shaking in my boots with guys like Oswaldo Cabrera or Austin Wells to begin this season, although Wells does have 10 home runs. He's only hitting 220. And how about Jazz Chisholm? That's a guy that I think is not going to get the warmest welcome when he arrives at Kauffman Stadium tomorrow. He rubbed a lot of Royals fans the wrong way last year with his antics and the things he said in interviews and press conferences, and he is off to a pretty slow start. He's hitting 214 to start the year. He's got 9 homers, 24 RBIs. He struck out 45 times. His OBP is at a 318. His on-base percentage is 318. Mikel Garcia is hitting 312. Sorry, Jazz Chisholm. Mikel Garcia is better than you. As much as you wanted to argue about it last year, he is better than you. I'm trying to think about what a realistic expectation for the Royals should be this week in this 3-game series against New York. I think with the pitching that they have, they should win 2 out of 3 here. I would say it's going to depend a lot on Max Fried's and Noah Cameron's performances tomorrow, as well as Cole Reagans and what he does on Thursday, because Reagans has struggled this year. He's got the injuries. He's got an ERA north of 5 to begin this year, but the guy he's pitching against is in the same boat, has an ERA up north of 5. Chris Bubich has the best ERA in baseball, and the guy he's matched up with on the mound for New York has an ERA north of 4.5. So the Royals have the pitching advantages Wednesday and Thursday. I think it's a lot to ask Noah Cameron to match up pitch for pitch, at bat for at bat, inning for inning with somebody like Max Fried, who has pitched as well as he has this year. It might be a little bit unfair, but I don't think it's unnecessary to ask that of him with the way that he's pitched so far this year. A 0.85 ERA in 5-6 starts is impressive. Incredibly impressive. I think the Royals can take 2 out of 3 here at Kauffman. Right? That their struggles have not been at home. They're 19-13 at home. Their problem has been on the road. They have a losing record on the road, winning record at home. Take 2 out of 3 here against the Yankees and maybe calm down some Royals fans who are trying to go full Chicken Little here and say the sky is falling, and send a statement that reverberates around the American League that, hey, Royals are still going to be a tough out here. They're not a team you can write off at this point. I really do think that the Royals are very capable of winning 2 out of 3 in this series. And depending on what happens with Noah Cameron tomorrow, maybe it's a little bit too far, a little bit too strong a statement to say that I think that they can sweep this series, but they can. And wouldn't that be a statement? After everybody's panicking because they lose 2 out of 3 against the Chicago White Sox, their first 2 losses against the White Sox in over a year, and then to turn around and win 2 out of 3 or sweep the New York Yankees, continue this hot hitting that you've got going here, hitting up over 300 here in the month of June, just got to take advantage with runners on base, man. That's the problem. That's been this Royals team's problem. That was one of the big problems they had last year. It's one of their big problems this year. All right, is what do you do with runners in scoring position? It's been slow for them. Maybe they'll turn it around. I believe they will. I think they're capable of it. 913-586-7965 is our number. I know we don't talk a lot about it. I know there's not a gigantic appetite for it in Kansas City, but I'm a basketball fan, and it's the NBA Finals. So I want to talk about the NBA Finals. Make sure you stay tuned for that. Logan Weber here alongside Jacob Mustard after hours here on 96.5 The Fan.
Skipping meals, cutting out carbs, still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest, you aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.
Too often, green laundry detergents come with a compromise. They're better for the planet, but worse at the one thing that matters most, cleaning your clothes. Dirty Labs believes you shouldn't have to lower your standards for the sake of sustainability. Using advanced green chemistry, they created a detergent that uses an entirely new cleaning engine, inspired by the genius of nature. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, I think this NBA Finals is going to be a lot more up and down than many, including myself, anticipated it would be. I said before the series started, I thought the Thunder were going to win in six, maybe even five. I definitely did not expect a game one win for the Indiana Pacers. But I'll tell you one, as that game was coming down to the wire, the moment that I saw Andrew Nembhard work Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at the top of the key and hit that step back three, I was like, oh, Indiana's going to have a shot at the end of this game. And what happens? Less than 10 seconds to go on the clock. Who's got the basketball in their hands? Oh, it's Tyrese Halliburton. And at that moment, I, along with many other people who were watching that game, thought he's going to make this shot and the Pacers are going to win game one. And what does he do? Dribble right side, pull up mid-range jumper, buried it. Less than a second to go, Pacers win game one. Like, oh my God, they keep doing this. They were down 10 at the start of the fourth quarter. Down 9 at the end of the fourth quarter, or start of the fourth quarter. I just couldn't believe it. And then the thought, right, the prevailing thought and the conversation immediately turns to, all right, how is Oklahoma City going to bounce back? How are they going to answer it? Because they hadn't really dealt with anything like that situation throughout this playoff run. They've played some great teams this postseason. I don't want to argue that. You had to beat some very, very talented basketball teams to get to this point. You had to beat the Timberwolves to get to the NBA Finals, a Timberwolves team that was just in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. Prior to that, you had to beat a Denver Nuggets team led by the best player on the planet that won an NBA Finals a couple of seasons ago. They had to make some tough, tough plays happen to get to this point. But to have a lead like that fall away after being up 15 at one point in the fourth quarter and you end up losing, How do they respond? How does a young team that hasn't maybe dealt with as much adversity as others, how do they bounce back? Well, they bounce back by outscoring Indiana 26-20 in the first quarter, outscoring them 33-21 in the second quarter, and taking an 18-point lead into the halftime break. They hold on to that lead and, in fact, expand it to a 19-point lead going into the fourth quarter, and they end up winning it by 16. Shea said, hey, just let me do my thing here, right? Just let me go to work. I'm going to put up 34. I'm going to drop 8 assists. I'm going to pull down 5 rebounds. I'm going to get 4 steals, shoot over 50% from the floor. I'm also going to do what I do best, and that is draw contact and go to the free throw line. He made 11 of his 12 free throws during that game. And in fact, that might have been the biggest boon for Oklahoma City in game 2. 29 of 33 at the free throw line. They made 10 more free throws than Indiana did. On only seven more attempts. So they shot more free throws and they were more efficient at shooting those free throws. You get 19 from Jalen Williams. You got another 15 out of Chet Holmgren. Alex Caruso and Aaron Wiggins gave you 38 combined off the bench in 48 minutes of basketball. I saw this today. Somebody told me this stat. Through the first two games of the NBA Finals, Alex Caruso and Tyrese Halliburton had the same number of points. Now, that's not a knock against Tyrese Halliburton, because Halliburton is not a score-first guard. Tyrese Halliburton looks to get other guys involved. He's looking to pass the ball first. He had 17 on 13 shots yesterday. He had 6 assists. Problem was, he turned the ball over 5 times. Shea was much more effective defensively in game 2 than he was in game 1. You also, I think, saw him a little bit more one-on-one guarding Tyrese Halliburton than you saw in game 1. Because in game 1, it was a lot more of him guarding Aaron Nesmith or Nembhard. In game 2, you saw him on Halliburton a little bit more often than you expected. I think at one point, SGA scored and like hit Tyrese with like the too little or something. Might have been Nembhard that he hit with the too little or something, but this series is going to be a fun one to watch. I honest to God believe that. I still think the Thunder are going to win this series, but there's something with this Indiana Pacers team, man. I don't know what it is, and I can't really explain it, but they just have a tendency, they have something within them that just, they like to keep it interesting. And if you're not blowing them out, if you're not up 15, or I shouldn't even say 15, if you're not up 16 plus, there's this prevailing thought that Indiana could go on a run and beat you. We saw them do it a couple of times to Cleveland. We saw them do it a couple of times to New York. We saw them do it in game 1 of this NBA Finals. This Pacers team is never out of the fight. And that is a scary, scary thought if you're the Oklahoma City Thunder. When you could throw a massive haymaker like they did in game 1 and go up 15 in that fourth quarter, and you're thinking, all right, we got them on their heels, right? They're stumbling. We've got them. We've won the fight. They just have this Pacers team just has this, I hate to say Midwest style, like never say die kind of attitude to them, but they do a little bit. I mean, they've got scoring at every position on the floor, right? Tyrese Halliburton is a pass-first guard, but he can still give you buckets. The guy's an all-star. He's a superstar in this league at this point. And how fitting it is to say that a couple of months ago, he was voted by his peers as the most overrated player in the NBA, and yet he has willed his team to an NBA Finals. You've got guys like Nembhard and Nesmith who are outstanding knockdown shooters, and they defend well. You've got Pascal Siakam, who has NBA Finals experience. He's an all-star caliber player on the low block who can score at all three levels. And then you've got Miles Turner, who is not the most effective rebounder, I would say, but he's a rim protector. He is a pretty good three-point shooter, especially for a guy his size. He can spread the floor and open up the paint a little bit, which adds to the effectiveness of Tyrese Halliburton being an on-ball guard who can dribble drive and make something happen, inside-out passes and things. And then you bring in guys off the bench, right? Guys like Obi Toppin off the bench, Benedict Mathurin, a former lottery pick, TJ McConnell, who's an effective shooter. This Indiana team's going to be a tough out. And I should have known that going into this series. And I was just maybe naive. Maybe I was mesmerized by the talent of the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I still think Oklahoma City wins. I can't ignore the 68 wins. I can't ignore the way they handled Denver. I can't ignore the way that they handled Minnesota. And I can't ignore the fact that whether he's deserving or not, they do have the MVP this season in the NBA in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. 913-586-7965 is our number. We'll come back and wrap up the show next. You're listening to After Hours. Logan Weber here with you alongside Jacob Mustard, 96.5 The Fan. I got a 913 in the text line. It says, can we talk some hockey? The most dominant athlete in their sport on the planet, parentheses, Connor McDavid, is playing for a championship right now, and we're talking about an NBA series that's on an off day. First things first, I'm not a hockey fan, right? I don't know much about the game of hockey, so I don't want to speak out of turn about something that I don't know a great deal about. That's why I don't talk a lot about hockey. There's not an NHL team really anywhere near the Kansas City area. Not that there's an NBA team anywhere near the Kansas City area either, but I think those two things kind of work together. Connor McDavid is the most dominant athlete in their sport on the planet. Scottie Scheffler exists. I just want to point that out. You know, Scottie Scheffler is doing things in golf nobody's seen since Tiger Woods. So he's probably the most dominant individual athlete in their sport on the planet right now, I would say, is Scottie Scheffler, or maybe even Coco Gauff in tennis. But it's sort of disingenuous to say, and we're talking about an NBA series that's on an off day. NBA, it's the NBA Finals. Yes, I know it's an off day, but they just had a game yesterday, and it's Monday. It's the first day of the week we get to talk about it, so I wanted to talk about it briefly. I'm also a basketball fan. And also, more people watch the NBA Finals in America than the Stanley Cup. In fact, 8.91 million people watched Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Would you like to know how many people watched Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals? 2.41 million. So almost four times as many people watched Game 1 of the NBA Finals than Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Numbers kind of add up to that. I want to close out the show talking a little college baseball, though. Jacob, you were telling me during the break you're watching a little college baseball over there. You've got a super regional going on right now in which we could see a major upset. We saw seven teams yesterday punch their ticket to the College World Series. Arkansas advanced, beating Tennessee. So the Razorbacks are going to be in the College World Series. Arizona beat North Carolina. LSU over West Virginia. Oregon State over Florida State. The Beavers are seemingly always in the College World Series. It's pretty remarkable. UCLA beat the University of Texas San Antonio, which was another kind of Cinderella story. Although UTSA had a really good regular season. I mean, they were 47-15. They had a great year, but they weren't ranked. Louisville beat Miami. So Louisville gets into the College World Series. And Murray State, who crushed Duke yesterday in game two of their series, 19-9, to force a game three, which is going on right now. And we are now headed to the bottom of the ninth inning with the Racers of Murray State leading the Duke Blue Devils 5-4. So a win here, and Murray State gets into the College World Series.
Now he is facing the top of the order, and Duke got themselves out of a jam. They had one runner on first after four balls in a row, got three outs right away. So
they got off to a really
they've got a chance.
And I mean, Murray, for Duke to come back and make this one interesting. I mean, Murray scored what, 2-3 runs in the first inning? Like they got off rolling after that 19 run game they had yesterday. They sort of hit the ground running in this one, but kind of tapered off since. And so now you see Duke trying to make its way back. They got the top of the order coming up.
First player just got hit by pitch.
Okay, so they got a runner on. Tying runs on, right? Go ahead, run. The winning run is at the plate now for the Duke Blue Devils. And I'm just curious, Yeah, okay. I thought that Murray played in the Valley. I wasn't 100% certain of that because I know they play in the Missouri Valley Conference for most of their other sports. I just didn't know if baseball was at all similar. Good for them. Good for the Valley, right? I mean, them and Missouri State down in Springfield, they were back and forth the entire year. They were co-conference champions, and then Murray ended up beating Missouri State and winning the Valley, and now they're using that and catapulting themselves into an opportunity to go to a College World Series. And, you know, looking at these teams on paper, I'm curious who the proverbial favorite would be to win the College World Series. Arkansas, probably, right? I mean, they're the only team in the top five of the regular season rankings to make it to the College World Series. They're the number three team in the land. You've got LSU at six, Oregon State at eight. UCLA is the number 15 team in the country, but Louisville wasn't ranked this year. Arizona wasn't ranked this year. And Murray State and Duke, neither one of them are in the top 25 of the latest college baseball rankings. So you'd think on paper that they would be the odds-on favorite to win the College World Series. And then on the women's side, despite a great run, inspiring run by Texas Tech and the Red Raiders, they come up just short. Texas Longhorns beat Texas Tech 10-4 in Game 3 on Friday and end up winning the College World Series final, which I don't think anybody saw coming. Pretty sure most people who follow college softball even vaguely probably would have penciled in Oklahoma to win the College World Series in softball, because that seems to be what they do every single year. Let's not act like the sky is falling. Let's not panic, Royals fans. We've got 90 games to go. Enjoy what's coming up this week. A really good series. The New York Yankees coming to town. It's going to be a fun one. Noah Cameron on the bump tomorrow against Max Fried. Best pitching matchup in baseball tomorrow. All three games are going to be on national television, either on TBS, MLB Network, or Amazon Prime Video. So for those of us that don't have FanDuel, we're going to get to watch our team this week. That'll do it for tonight's program. For Jacob Mustard, our producer, I'm Logan Weber. Thank you for joining us. This has been After Hours. We out.
Skipping meals, cutting out carbs, still staring at the exact same number on the scale? Let's be honest, you aren't lazy, but your metabolism might be asleep at the wheel. Traditional dieting doesn't work anymore. It forces your body into starvation mode, burning up your hard-earned lean muscle while locking away deep belly fat. You're fighting your own biology. It's time to stop starving and start optimizing with Almased. Almased isn't a fad. It's a natural, high-protein, low-glycemic weight loss shake powerhouse backed by over 30 years of clinical university research. It doesn't crash your system. It reboots it. Almased is scientifically proven to target stubborn gut fat while protecting your muscle mass. No artificial sugar or fillers. Almased is made of three natural superfoods. It gives clean, sustained energy all day long and results you can actually see in the mirror. Stop fighting your body. Give it the fuel it needs to burn fat, crush cravings, and reclaim your edge. Go to Almased.com right now to get your protein and shaker bottle. That's Almased.com. Reset your metabolism, reclaim your health, and transform your body with Almased.
Washing your dishes before you wash your dishes? Dirty Labs believes going green in the kitchen should not mean doing extra work. Their bioenzyme dishwasher detergent cuts through stuck on food and leaves dishes sparkling without compromising on safety or performance. No pre-rinse, no post-rinse, no compromise. Just powerful cleaning made without harsh chemicals. If Dirty Labs can't make you believe in the power of green cleaning, nothing will. Fall in love, or it's free, at DirtyLabs.com.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday you'll hear us and see us chatting with big name celebrities.
And every Monday you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.